welcome to church this morning. Yet the reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that reading. Well, good morning and welcome to Brookside Baptist Church. It is great to see you live in person or via our live stream on Facebook. I hope over the past few weeks that you have been well and that 2021 is off to a good start for you. I want to thank Jim and Richard and Drew for preaching over the past few weeks as I've had some time off. As we've heard this morning, we turn our attention to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. But before I get there, let me share a story with you. And this is a recent story. In fact, this time last week, this story was taking place. See, I was packing up from camping last week at this time. I was folding things and putting things in bags. And as I'm packing up, I'm looking at the stuff I'm packing up and I'm thinking, why did I bring this? Have you ever been on holidays and you thought to yourself, why did I bring this? Now, I need to confess something to you from the very beginning. I am an overpacker. I know, it seems shocking, but I am an overpacker. Say, if I'm going away for 5 days, I take clothes that'll suit me for 7 or 8 days. Overpacker. If the weather forecast is going to be sunny, I'm going to take clothes in case the weather turns. I'm going to take my wet weather gear, my jacket, my boots, my long clothes, my tracksuit, my jumpers. And if I know the weather is going to be wet, I even take my summer gear, just in case. you know, you've got to be prepared for these things. And I understand, like, when you're camping, you need to be prepared for most situations. You need to be prepared for that change of weather. Because after all, it's not like you can just walk in to your cupboard, open up, and get what you want. You need to have it there. But I was wondering, where is the level when it comes to packing? What officially makes me a hoarder slash overpacker? What is sensible packing? And what is it with those people who can live out of a backpack for months at a time? So let me tell you some of the things that I overpacked for this week of camping. 6 nights. For footwear, I took the following. 3 pairs of shoes. 2 sets of flip-flops, jandals, or thongs, depending on what you want to call them. I took UGG boots. I took hiking boots. So I could wear a new pair of shoes every day and not wear the same pair of shoes twice. For all of these shoes, do you know I took 15 pairs of socks? What was I expecting? The flood to come? I went camping with friends, so this one confused me. I took an iPad full of movies and TV shows, just in case they weren't interesting enough to talk to. I took three pairs of wireless headphones. What? I took 4 pairs of jeans, 3 sets of tracksuit pants. I didn't need all this stuff. Why did I take it? Like, if I'm not using it, why am I taking it? And it got me thinking about it. Well, at one stage, when I was putting things in my bag, I must have thought, you know what? I'm going to need this. So have you ever prepared to go somewhere and have packed everything you would thought you would need? And then you get there and you find that 90% of the stuff you brought, you didn't need to take. Maybe you've traveled quite far and you've carried all this extra stuff with you and it weighs you down. But what's worse than overpacking is forgetting to unpack the essentials, right? I remember once I went on a camp and I forgot to take a towel. How annoying is that? I had to make an excuse to get into town to buy myself a towel so no one would find out I forgot. So we have this stuff that we take with us that's weighing us down. And when we get to the destination, we often find that we have forgotten something. And that is life in a picture, right? That's life in a story. That's what life can be. We carry these burdens that we do not have to. These burdens that weigh us down. And what happens is we find that the things that are more important, the things that we want to take on the journey, we haven't taken with us because the burdens are just too heavy. As we heard today in that passage from Colossians chapter 3, it's a bit of a picture of the same. It's a very challenging passage for us to hear in our world today because it encourages us to lose things that we think we need but are really burdens. So let me set the scene. In Colossae, some false teachers had gotten in. And these false teachers were preaching one of two different things. A group were preaching extra burdens upon the church. These teachers wanted the believers to walk to the ways of the old, the law, instead of walking in the newness of the freedom in Christ. They didn't understand that as Christians, we're free from that burden of law. We're no longer required to live to the 11th letter. Scholars talk about how when we were called to walk according to the law, we were carrying this extra set of burdens. And in this passage, God is using Paul to show them how they should work and how they should walk. And as Christians, there are some things that we need to do to get rid of those excessive burdens. And if we get rid of those excessive burdens, then we have more room in our hearts for the peace of God. But there's another set of false teaching going on. There were those in this church that were preaching that, well, if Christians are free from the law, then we should be able to do what we want because God will forgive it. These so-called teachers are encouraging Christians to focus on the world and the things of it. The things that were happening the then and now, and forgetting about the things to come. So Paul encourages us in this passage to start by seeking. That's verses 1 to 4. Paul reminds us in our privilege of being risen with Christ through our union and communion with him. We are justified, we're made just, we're sanctified, we're made holy, and we shall be glorified. And as a result, what we need to seek is not a set of laws, is not abundance of overindulgence, but rather we need to seek the things that are above. Paul tells us Christians that we're to love heavenly things, to look towards them, to study them, to let our heart be fully engrossed by them. Have you ever met someone who is that, who has focused on heaven, that is full of the things of the Spirit? Man, they just feel like home. Paul reminds us that because of Christ and because of our belief in Christ, we need to act towards the heavenly things the way that we used to look towards the earthly things. And what he's encouraging us to remember is our lives now shouldn't be different to how we're going to live when we're in that coming kingdom. In Romans 8, 6 to 8, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Christ died for our sins, but Christ did not stay in the grave. He rose again on the third day. As believers, we too were raised from the dead. In the Gospels, Jesus tells us that where our heart is, our treasure is. And if Christ is our treasure, then we should be focused on him. And we must continue to chip away and develop that discipline to focus ourselves on him, on the eternal. Seek the things of the Spirit, not of the flesh. When we do that, we are pleasing to God. Or as David put it in Psalm 27, one thing I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. So Paul asks us at the beginning of this, what are we seeking? What are you seeking right now? Why are you here? Better yet, why are some people not here? What are they seeking? As I was writing those words, I was reminded of an event that I went to. It was an emerging church event. It was held above a cafe in Parramatta. It was an international guest speaker, one of my favorite theologians that I was dying to spend time with in person. And as you walked up the stairs, here he was at the top on that landing. And he grabbed me by the hand and said, "Why are you here?" I thought, that's a great question. Why was I there? It took me some time. I was like, is this like, do I need a password? Is this like a speakeasy for church? Why was I there? What was I expecting? What did I want? I think verse 1 to 4 in this passage, Paul is asking us to consider the same thing. Why are we here? After I gathered my thoughts, after I got over my gushing, "Oh, it's him," I realized why I was there. Because I wanted more of God. That's why we come to church. Because we want more of God. In our world that focuses on the wrong things, we want to focus on the right things. So if we're seeking after God, well then verses 5 to 8 follow, and that says if we're seeking after God, then we need to put off things. And those are our desires and our burdens. These false teachers are teaching that you could live life however you wanted to and still belong to Christ. But the problem is that we're new. We're no longer part of that way of thinking. Our actions, our motivations, they're needed to change. We can't be followers of Christ, but yet still live in the same way and manner. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So Paul lists some of the things that we can focus on in verses 8 to 9. Wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. We can lie to each other. But I want you to notice something about this list. These things are things that consume us. That eat us all up. I mean, let's think about it for a second. If you're angry, what are you doing? Well, I know when I'm angry, I'm focusing on the reasons why I'm right to be angry, right? Right. Okay, so this person has offended me, so I'm justified in being angry. I need to take them down a peg. It's all about bringing it into here. My whole mind is consumed by it. Why I'm right to feel this way. And if my whole mind is consumed with being angry or disliking something, if it's consumed by wrath and slander, then I have no room left to focus on the right thing. And Paul says, put those evil things, those things that consume you, put them to death. The verb that's used here is metaphorically signifying that we need to deprive these things of its power. We need to destroy it of its strength. Use no member of your body to sin against God. Keep it all under control and dominion. Never permit the beast to run away with the man. Die to the old things that used to control us and seek what we have been born into. Romans 6:13. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Ephesians 5 tells us that we are to be imitators of God as his children. The chapter goes on to tell us that not to let evil things control us the way they did before. Put those things off and flee. Flee from your immorality. Free from unrighteousness. Be free from evil and the burdens that it puts on us. So if we're putting those things off, then we need to put something on. That's what we do, right? When we take something off, we put something on. We need to take off that old self, that burden, that boulder, that thing that is dead, and we need to put on our new self, our new image, one that bears the likeness of Christ. What a burden we can release when we let go of that dead self hanging on our backs. Have you ever had that moment where you've been feeling like there's something on your back and it finally comes off? That weight off your shoulders? It's refreshing. And you suddenly realize that you can't hold on to that burden and truly be free. There was one image that constantly came to mind when I was thinking of this passage. It's an old picture I saw of a hand, and the hand was holding onto the rope, and the rope was literally digging into the hand because it was holding a heavy burden. And it was talking about the only thing that is holding that burden, the only thing that is keeping that hate going is my hand. And if I let go of it, it wouldn't hurt me anymore. But we hold onto it, and we hold onto it tightly. But if for a second, if we go, wait a second, that's consuming me, I need to focus on the things above. If we let go, then we can feel the peace of God. And we need to constantly do this. We need to constantly search ourselves and say, hey, I need to get rid of this stuff that keeps me back, and I need to be reborn, and I need to be renewed. And you know what? It will come automatically as we study who God is. And as we study who God is, we gain new strengths and abilities, and we get peace with God. And we gain this through knowledge of God. We gain this through reading His Word, through praying, through worship, through serving each other, through fellowship and discipleship. That's the reason why we gather here on Sundays. So we can say, I want to put off the old self, I want the new. I want more knowledge of God. I want to walk in the new, easier way. It's the reason we have small groups or connect groups during the week. So we can take extra time and say, I want more of God still. And we can help each other walk in a new way. And the more we commit to those things, to the righteous and the godly things, you know what? The more we want to do them. But I found something interesting as I was reading. Paul lists some things for us that we should focus on. And you know what? They don't consume us, but they release us. And they release us because it takes the focus on me and puts the focus on others. Verse 12, beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Do you see how those things are others-centered? To have compassion for others? We can be kind to ourselves, but kindness is an outward action. Patience. Do you know why I grow a beard? Not because it looks really cool, but because I have patience. That's a joke. Patience. Peace with God comes when we lose the self-focus and focus on others and God. Peace comes when we let Christ be in all. It's easier to say, hey, put off your old self and put on the new. But there is another burden talked about in this passage, one that gets often overlooked. See, through God's grace, we can know that Christ died for us and freed us from our sin. He rose to give us life, and he gives us power through him. This passage also talks about the burden of being good enough. We no longer have to struggle to be good enough. Do you want to know why? Because you already are good. We know we're not perfect. We haven't got it all together. But between us and God, we can know that we are good. That's why we set our mind to the heavenly things. That's why we die to ourselves and the old ways and be reborn into the new. We don't have to follow the law to be good enough. We don't need all this stuff to be good enough because we already are good enough. And that's half of the battle here in this passage. See, we as humanity have this great desire to do a 180 pendulum shift. Yeah? So let me think of a great example here. I worked at a church. We had a very conservative pastor, right? When he left, they did a pendulum shift and got a really charismatic one. Yeah, that's what we do. We want to we swing from side to side. That's what we have a tendency to do when we say, hey, don't give in to the earthly desires. We pendulum shift and we go hyper law. We put laws around everything. We would be an example to the Pharisees, wouldn't we? Hey, if you step over this line, you're out. Think about that for a moment. Think about the Pharisees. Think about the Pharisees when Jesus healed on the Sabbath. The law says that you shouldn't work on the Sabbath. It's a holy day. You should spend it focusing on the kingdom of heaven. For Jesus, that law did not stop him from his sights on God and helping others. And then you think about it for a moment and just how much that Jesus wasn't focused on he fulfilled the law, but he wasn't focused on the law if it stopped him from serving God and loving others. I mean, he came in contact with all these things that would have made him spiritually unclean. I mean, he talked and hung out with sinners. He ate meals with them. He came in contact with demon-possessed people. He was around sick people constantly. He was touched by women who were bleeding. He touched people with leprosy. All these things, they're against the Mosaic law. They were making a person unclean. But Jesus isn't about that. He's like, no, God is what's important here. It's no wonder that Paul constantly goes on about how it's not the law that saves, but it is Christ reborn and us in him. So this year, 2021, as we head into this year, not knowing what the new normal is, not knowing what tomorrow will be, not knowing what was going to come, I want to ask you, what burden do you need to drop? What do you need to get rid of so you can focus more on God? For some of it is sinful desires. For others, we need to drop the hyper-law. Maybe we all need to drop off some more of that self-centered, self-focused patterns and create room for more of God. My prayer for you this year, my prayer for the church this year, is that we might drop some of these burdens. All of them, some of them, one of them, any of them. May we drop our focus on ourselves and put Christ where he belongs. May we focus our mind on the heavenly. May we lose our sinful nature and get more of the spiritual nature. Let's pray. Father, as we take this moment, as we think through the things that constantly hold us back, as we acknowledge at times we become so self-focused, so self-obsessed that we do not see you, Lord, we pray that you would help us make room for that. Make room for you. Make room for our relationship with you. Lord, may we prioritize it over other things. Father, it's hard. The world can call us into so many distractions. But God, we admit our desire and longing for more of you. So God, we pray for your wisdom at this time. Help us, lead us, guide us. Amen. All right, I'd like to invite Cheryl to come and lead us once more.